Well, thank you both for joining me. It's coming up on Saturday night at Coney. So, Nancy, I want to start with you. A little history. Rossi, of course, is synonymous with fireworks, especially in Cincinnati. Take us back to how it all began.
Well, my family is from Newcastle, Pennsylvania, and my grandfather was actually born there. And my father and my uncle grew up there. And in the 30s, when there wasn't very much work, they came up here to Cincinnati. And at the time, there was 10 nights that they shot right before Labor Day. And we got that contract to do that. So that was the reason that we moved here. It was all because of Coney, and they gave us that work. And it's been going on since then. It's been great. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I used to go to Coney and watch the shows. And we used to do these lavish set pieces. And anytime some new music came out, my grandfather would try to interpret it. Like when the Beatles came out in 64, we had these figures that looked like the Beatles, and they were playing guitar. And there's just been so many great things that have come out of that relationship. So this is just the next one.
As familiar as I thought I was with the Rossi's organization, which you guys, I had no idea it went back that far, or that these kind of things happened. Now, prior to coming to Cincinnati, it was a fireworks business?
Yes, it was. My grandfather came to Cincinnati, but it was my great-grandfather who came to Newcastle in 1896. He came over alone and started working for a company that was based in Newcastle, sent for his wife, and they worked for this gentleman. His name was Fizzoni. They worked for him for about 2 years, and then my great-grandfather went out on his own.
So came from?
From Pietramalara, which is the town. It's like a little bit north of Naples. That's the region in the Campania region in Italy.
What, back in the late 19th century, did fireworks consist of?
Well, there are a lot of fireworks producers in Italy still. They would make shells. It was just a region where there were a lot of companies. The story is my great-grandfather, maybe it was my great-great-grandfather, had this fascination with fireworks where he lived. And my grandfather told me this story, that they sent him to work for someone because they were afraid he was going to hurt himself. So that's how the story started. You know, I used to talk to my grandfather when I was very young, and he used to tell me these stories about how things got started. So I'm going with that one.
It's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Yeah. So coming up on Saturday night is a great event that I'm going to want Tom to fill us in on. This is not the first, second, third time. This is
number five.
Fifth time.
You know, again, it's a privilege to work with Nancy and her family. I always call them the first family of the fireworks.
Sure.
Here in Cincinnati, and we've done a lot of things together. We do a big event on July 3rd, too, Balloon Glow. That's fabulous that they've done with us for years. And we were looking for that new thing, that new idea. And then we thought, well, how about other countries? And I had no idea until they first started doing it, the difference. We've worked with them for a long time, so we'd seen their fireworks for a long time. But when these other countries started coming, the artistry and the literally like painting a canvas in the sky, it's just beautiful. And then the way they coordinate the music and just the different approaches, their philosophies, the architecture in the sky of what they're doing and what they're creating is fabulous. And so it's a privilege. It's a great honor to have these countries come. And they're really excited. I mean, they're really excited to be here and show what they can do.
Very unique to each country?
Oh, I would say so. Nancy, wouldn't you agree?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, the Japanese show that I recall, which won that year that they were here, more big volume. Everything was very high in the sky. The music was very intense. And then maybe you come down to a European look, and it's a little more delicate. They'll use more low-level or fronts in combination with the higher level. So, yeah, there's absolutely a distinct quality between countries and actually between people because, you know, now everything's designed basically with a computer. And so you have computer-generated shows, which are very precise. So you can get real particular with the music. You know, and it's the choreographer who's sitting there and designing it. So, yeah, I mean, you have 5 years of three companies each year, and all of them have different people designing the show. So, yeah, you've got a good variation. So it's well worth watching, I think, of course. But
so this coming Saturday night, Greece, the Philippines, South Africa. Yeah. You mentioned music and soundtracks. Is it Grecian music? Is it music from the Philippines? Is it music from South Africa? Or how do they do that?
Well, I have not heard the soundtracks this year other than...
In previous years.
Well, last year we had Brazil, and she used Brazilian music. It was very lively and very colorful. The Australians who won used a combination of popular music.
From all over the world?
Well, yes and no, because it's kind of a strategy, right? Because you're in front of an American audience.
Yeah. Right.
And so sometimes I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking about it too much, but I sometimes feel like they use modern pop music because it's going to access all those young people who are texting. And so they feel like it crosses. So you get both. You get the cultural aspects of their countries. They usually merge them. But sometimes, like, again, she said last year, Brazil was pretty straightforward classical Brazilian music.
Yeah. And she actually, the woman who designed the show from Brazil, which is an unusual thing. There's not very many American or not very many women designers out there. But she was very, very excited about bringing her country. And so you have that, you know, that attitude. I'm going to bring my country to the United States. Or you'll have a designer who knows the audience and, okay, let's use American pop music because we know that's going to be popular there. Which is good because then you have three different shows to watch. Mm-hmm. You don't have the same show.
Tom mentioned texting. Texting is part of the judging, isn't it?
Yes, we have five skilled judges who really look for all the really valuable parts of a show from a firework perspective because these countries take this very seriously. Nancy would agree with that. They really want to win.
Serious.
How do you select the judges?
Well, the first year, I gave Tom and Mary kind of a criteria of what I know the judges should look for. That is like the soundtrack and the choreography with the soundtrack and how the fireworks blend with the soundtrack. So there's like five ways to view it. But then, you know, you're looking at it and you're going to feel something as well. You want those fireworks to engage with you. So that's kind of the other way to look at a fireworks show. But then, you know, you've got an audience. I think there's the five judges and then there's the audience who say, oh yeah, I like that one. Just because they like it, it makes them feel good. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of an element. You know, your fireworks are entertainment and you're trying to engage the crowd like we do when we do a show. We think about the music we put together. We want to make somebody feel something. You want somebody to stand up and start, oh, wow, that was fantastic. So those elements is, you know, that's how you judge it.
I was on the Captain's Anchorage for the first one when I was working at WEBN. And I remember the soundtrack being put together that year back at the station on reel-to-reel tapes. And there were cues giving back and forth from the boat to the station about when to push a cartridge, a music cartridge or something. It was
primitive. That was 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So yes, we were actually talking about that.
But it was
brilliant,
nonetheless.
We were talking about that because when I've been in some meetings and people at WBN have asked people in the room who was at the first fireworks show. And nobody could say they were at the first one. I was. Mm-hmm. So you were at the mm-hmm. first one. Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah, it was the 10th anniversary of the station.
Right.
And I see here that jumped out at me. Sunlight Pool will be empty, so you can take a seat and enjoy great viewing from the pool.
It's really an unusual look when you see the pool full of not water but human beings.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. We've had really, really good turnouts for these fireworks. I think, again, especially in these Olympic years where people are kind of into that fervor of thinking of other countries and thinking of competitions. And we've had tremendous turnouts. And so the pool becomes completely full of people watching. It's such an odd picture in the morning when all the empty chairs are facing like yeah. Como because they had all watched and enjoyed the fireworks. It's really, really a special evening. I will say from my point of view, like she was talking about Japan. At one point, if you think of Lake Como, which is fairly large, mm-hmm. the entire sky full of like shimmering golden butterflies just descending. It was spectacularly beautiful. I mean, there was almost an audible gasp from the crowd. And that's when she talks about feeling and how they try to engage the crowd. You'll see fireworks that you don't always see here in America in terms, and even though Razzies is producing them, the shapes of them or the forms or what they're doing or the angles of them. Some of these countries really like to go low and wide, like she said. And so it'll fill your entire vision. Like as far as your eye can take you, there's a story and that story's happening. It's just, it is really special. I'm really glad we did this. Thank you, Nancy.
I am too. Thank you for the opportunity.
Let me ask you this, Nancy, little secret here. Do you or any of your clan get ideas and borrow them from any of these other countries?
Well, I don't know that we would say we borrow, but I think it's really hard to watch fireworks from other countries and not be inspired by what they're doing. And now there's all this new equipment out in the world where you can get so precise and you can do all of these insane angles going back and forth. And then we call it the one-shot wheel, where you have a series of, they're not aerial shots, but they're on the ground, but you put them in this concentric circle and you shoot them really, really fast. So it looks like a circle going really, really, we did it at Riverfest last year, or WEBN fireworks. So there's all this new technology out there. So you can't help but be inspired by it all. And so, you know, I look at something and maybe Michael looks at something, or maybe Joe looks at something to design a show. You all see the same show. You're all maybe looking at something from France, but you all come back with something totally different, right? Oh, let's do this. Oh, let's do that. And that's how we all get inspired. Oh, that would be cool. Let's do that. So I guess there's a lot of crossover, a lot of crossover. And if we see something really unique, sure, we're going to try to do it.
Of course. Gates open at 4 o'clock. Fireworks begin at 8:30. That's this coming Saturday night, the 24th at Coney Island. Fire Up the Night, number 5, correct?
Number 5. It's a great opportunity for people to get out and enjoy the park, too. Is when you come in, the rides are open. The parking's included in your carload pricing. So you can come out and have a great time with your family. And then it's all leading up to that energy of the first show. There are small gaps between the shows. It's like the water with sorbet when you're doing a food tasting. You're trying to let people not get over, because you get wowed immediately. Like you see that very first show and you just get wowed by what it is. And so we try to allow a little bit of time for your mind to filter back down for the next person blows you out of the water, so to speak. It's just really a great evening. I will say again, as a person who's helping produce it, I get caught up in it. You're just seeing things that are unusual. I mean, they're just really beautiful stories. And when you talk to these folks, when they come over, you find out their histories. And fireworks is a tradition in a lot of families. I mean, I think a lot of families have done it for generations. And it's a hand-me-down knowledge that becomes more and more savvy, more and more interesting. They use old school things, but then they use things that are new. And as Nancy said, the latest technology that's come out there. And so you're getting to see art happen in front of you in a really unusual format, because it's up in the air. It's beautiful.
Thank you both for joining us. We'll put a link up on the WVXU.org website with all the details for Saturday night's Fire Up the Night. Nancy Rossi from Rossi's Famous Fireworks, Tom Ryan from Coney Island, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Brian O'Donnell. Oh,